You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, little critter told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty, beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look, lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, rubber's going.
Fishing fans, this is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to another edition of Real Talk Radio on 98.1 FM and 770 AM here in Southwest Florida. You can also listen to us live by going to ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN Southwest Florida app. It is producer Rick Church and I here in the studio this morning, along with my guest co-host, David Graham, multi-species angler, blogger, and Boundless Pursuit podcast host. David, welcome to Real Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's only about a 20-minute drive, so I feel like we're neighbors.
Well, we are neighbors. Yeah. We are neighbors. And hey, in the fishing community, we should all be neighborly, right? And it's good to have you in the studio here. I know you just launched your podcast, what, the first part of February?
That's right. I'm nice and backlogged, too. So it's I was all 100 miles an hour in January, recording out the wazoo, working my tail off. Didn't realize how much work it was. I think I really, underestimated how hard y'all work. So it was a nice eye-awakening experience, but I think the field is open now, so I got a little wiggle room. I got episodes lined up good to go for probably about 4 months. So now it's all coasting and just enjoying the process.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And days like today when we've got some wind, like this past week, it's the perfect time to listen to a few podcasts in between your fishing trips if you can get out there. My goodness. Because, yeah, this past week, we definitely had some wind. You didn't get a chance to get out on the water, did you?
No, I had a gymnastics competition to go to. My older daughter's really getting into that. So I was there supporting her. But I'm going to try to get away, actually, this afternoon. I'm going to drive across the state and meet up with a guy in Palm Beach. But according to him, wind is your best friend. And what we're doing, and we're going to have a nice nor'eastern, I believe,
yep.
Blowing like 20 miles an hour. So I'm going to be getting blasted in the face with salt and sand, but he has assured me that that's the conditions we want. So I think I'm in for a grind later this afternoon and into the evening, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, I can't wait. I'll have to stay tuned to your Instagram, which is, by the way, for people who don't follow you right now. What's your Instagram handle?
It is it's just at Boundless Pursuit. And I do not have good posting discipline. So normally if I catch something, I immediately throw it up. I'm not one of those guys that can sit on pictures. I get too excited. So you see a photo come up, it's a fair chance I caught it earlier that day or within recent time. So if I don't post anything later today, you'll know I got skunked.
Well, you do an amazing job with your photos and with your blog design. You must have a graphic design background of some kind.
No, well, you know what? I don't know. I've always kind of had like a knack for art, and I don't know. I've just been kind of a creative guy, and maybe that's because of the amount of time I spent in isolation. You know, I have no friends, so that has allowed the creative juices to flow. But yeah, I don't know. I just threw that thing together. It's a Wix website, so. It's something I've really had a lot of fun with. I think it's really user-friendly. Like, Wix is, I mean, it's like the dummies version of throwing a site together. And, yeah, that's been a lot of fun. It's like the new age scrapbooking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so to give people some background on you and your fishing adventures and experiences, you have a special interest in pursuing lesser known or promoted species of fish. So we're talking about bowfin, mm-hmm. We're talking about Gulf sturgeon, we're talking about alligator gar, long nose gar, add a few to the list.
Oh, yeah.
You're out there chasing Oscars.
I've gone way down. Now, I love to chase, I will say, all species of fish, sport fish as well. I go bass fishing just the same, but I don't know. It's just been one of those things where it's like every different kind of fish presented a different puzzle to solve. So, you know, in the spirit of expanding your horizon or testing your skill sets as an angler or solving problems at a higher level, mm-hmm. I'm just always curious about different kinds of, especially the kinds of fish that don't have a lot of information resources out there. I mean, I can get online right now and find, you know, 100,000 different ways to catch a largemouth bass. But if I try to do the same thing with a bowfin, you're not really going to find a lot.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was curious. I'm like, okay, well, I know these things are there and I understand that they fight hard and they get big. So, you know, where's the information? So that, I don't know. I'm a very curious type of person, and I have just kind of noticed a pattern with, I don't know if you want to call them rough fish, or some people call them trash fish, or just non-traditional game species, but there seems to be a pattern with a lot of these fish that they ironically get bigger. They are just as fast, just as strong as a lot of the most popular fish. So that's just kind of where I went with it. But, you know, when you chase fish like a gar or a bowfin or something like that, you start to kind of feel like you've got a cause, because I don't know, none of our native fish should be like ever hated on or categorized as a trash fish. So it's like when I started to kind of tread into that territory and hear people talk like that, I started feeling like, well, now I've got a cause. Like now I've got to right the wrongs and right the ship. So it's,
yeah,
it's a little bit of a different angle when you're talking about those kind of fish, because, you know, there's a lot of species out there that need support.
Right, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions, because you do hear a lot, bass anglers in particular, they despise bowfin.
Right.
They call, you know, mudfish, grenell, they just despise them. So, but if I've been out in the Everglades fishing for bowfin before, and to your point, they are one of the hardest fighting fish that you can catch, and the amount of time that they're willing to take artificial lures is, I think, also very underrated, because they're very willing to take artificial baits and lures. So I think that's a lot of things. You know, a lot of times people aren't really keying in on that fact.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we're in a day and age where fishing is about sport. It's about the pursuit of, you know, of these things in a way that most people are predominantly doing catch and release fishing. So if you're doing that, I mean, the name of the game is to get the thrill of the bite and the fight. And I think that with regards to bowfin, especially, even the biggest detractors have no choice but to submit to the fact that bowfin fight hard. I mean, even the people that hate them the most and have the worst things to say, they stink, they ruin your lures, they tear up your gear, they, you know, what have you. None of them can sit there and look at me in the eyes with a straight face and say they do not fight hard. It's just simply untrue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you peel back all the layers, at the, you know, the most fundamental thing that we as anglers want is that side of things. You want something that's going to give you a challenge and fight, and they can absolutely provide that.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So I'm really looking forward to getting into our conversation this morning, because we're going to talk a little bit more about trash fish myths,
mm-hmm.
targeting bowfin with lures, which is something you've got a lot of experience doing, here in Florida and also up in South Carolina.
Oh, and in about six other states as well. I've chased that fish all over the southeastern United States.
So we'll get into that. We're going to talk about the most incredible catch of your life.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about your podcast, and we're going to talk about your partnership with Have Rods Will Travel, and a ton more. And I know you've been featured in Field and Stream, Outdoor Life, and you were recently on the Tom Rowland podcast, correct?
Oh, yeah. 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 Tom's podcast, honestly, has been pretty instrumental in inspiring me to start my own. I feel like that guy has got the gold standard of outdoor podcasts. So
a
little shameless plug, or a little free plug for Tom's podcast. He's got phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, he really, really does. So we're coming to you live this morning from Stan and Haney Boulevard in downtown Estero, Florida. David and I will be live on air this morning until 10 a.m. If you can't stay tuned for the entire show or you want to go back and catch up on previous episodes of Real Talk, you can just head on over to the ESPN Real Talk podcast page, and that's up on the website at ESPNSWFL.com. The text line is open this morning, so go ahead and shoot us a text. If you've got questions for David, send them through. The number is 239-337-377. If you've been out on the water this past week, braving the wind, catching some fish, send us some fish photos to that same number, 239-337-3776. And then in addition to my conversation with David, we'll be talking with Dave Westra at 8 a.m., Captain Steve Johnson at 9 a.m. with the tournament and event rundown. And, of course, we'll have useless information at 9:15. So lots coming up, and I'm actually going to head right on over to the phones because we've got Captain Barry Kuda standing by. Hey, Barry, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. What a cool day it is.
Yeah, it's a little breezy, or it's going to get a little breezy out there. But, yeah, so what's new with you, Barry?
Overcast. Well, I got out. I got my boat's almost ready. They've been working on it at Butler's Landing. They've been adding all my stuff, my electronics, wiring up for my trolling motor. Everything. They made a lot of progress yesterday. It'll be just a couple days, and I will be on the water. I'll do some sea trials, make sure it's running like I want. And my truck is now ready. They installed the trailer hitch on the front now. And I get some real weird looks when people see the trailer hitch on the front. I tell them, you know, you are not living until you can push your boat down 41 with the trailer in front. The fact is, it makes it easy to launch because I've got such a narrow boat ramp. I've only got a few inches clearance on each side. If I can see it in front of me, I can go all the way. If it's behind me, I got to stop and look and get out, stop, look, get out. And so it makes life a lot easier. But I did get on the water last weekend.
Well, give us a report. Let's hear it.
Interesting day. I caught only one ladyfish, jumped a couple of others. But I got up close to a bunch of big manatees. It was so cool. They were just enjoying themselves, kind of frolicking around, stirring up the water. And I just drifted towards them, and I thought, you know, they could knock me over really easily. I have to be swimming. But they came right by me. I got some video, put it on Facebook, and it was just one of our classic Southwest Florida thrills. You know, with all our wildlife and the beauty of the mangroves and the water that we have here, it's just always a thrill one way or another.
Well, I'm glad that you got out there, and I'm assuming that was in the kayak.
Yes, I forgot that part. The kayak, that's why they could have knocked me over so easily.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that things are still moving along with regards to your boat, and you've got the truck, so that's all good news.
Boat and truck. Now I'm working through the house. I've got the SBA loans on track. I'll know something in a week or two, and I've got the engineers doing soil testing to see what load it'll bear for building up. And a friend of mine did some plans for me, so slow but sure, it's heading in the right direction.
Sir Barry Kuda's castle will be rebuilt soon.
Hey, Barry, we'll be back in action.
Well, thanks for checking in this morning, Barry. We appreciate it. We got Nick standing by online, too, so I'm going to grab his call.
Always a pleasure.
You have a fantastic weekend, my friend. Take care.
Great. Love okay. You guys. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye, Barry. That is Captain Barry Kuda calling in. We're going to head over to line two because we've got Nick Davis with 239 Flies standing by. Hey, Nick.
Captain Debbie, David, top of the morning to you.
Good morning.
Back at you. What is going on, Nick? What's the scoop at 239 Flies?
Well, I'm not sure whether or not we need to get in the windbreaker business, the umbrella business, or the sunscreen business today. It's quite perplexing on my back deck. But nonetheless, we're gonna make the most out of today. But not too much. Pretty chill week. Pretty busy. Not too much fishing going on. But yeah, I feel like we're getting a lot closer to some really, really good fishing.
Yeah, it looks like with the weather forecast for this coming week, we're going to have some nice stable temps in the 80s and upper 80s, so that's a big plus.
Yeah, with some stable temps and some stable water temps, and a little bit less.
A little less wind.
A little less on the fan would be nice. If they could just dial that fan down to about a 2 instead of the 6 that it's at, that'd be ideal. But, yeah, sometimes you can't always get what you want. So, well, we made the best of it this week. Captain David, Captain Chris, and Captain Lance, I think, had a couple of trips between them. Kind of a slow week, but I know they all were seeing redfish and Estero. And I want to say we got a couple of snook to the boat. Not too big on the tarpon front this week. Then again, my tarpon guy is normally fishing a little further south, but he was actually a lot further south this week. My good buddy Patrick Ray, who not sure if you saw the film circulating on the internet yet about Steve Huff. Captain Steve Huff, that just got dropped. That's amazing. Check it out if you got a minute. But
where can you find that, Nick? Do you know?
If you go on, it's actually...
I thought I saw it being promoted. I saw it on somebody's Instagram, but I didn't...
Yeah, if you go to Seaholm's website, Seaholm the Watchmaker, who we just so happen to carry a 239 flies, they've got it on their website. We do not have a direct link to it on our website.
Okay.
But if people want to see it, they slide in my DMs. I'll 239 flies. I'll put you in the right direction. So, but if you go to Seaholm, they've got theirs up. So,
Steve is a legendary guide, and I really look forward to. I got to interview him for Gulf Shore Life magazine for an article I was working on. So I would love to watch that.
He's one of the forefathers of our sport, and
yep.
And one of the greatest ambassadors to our sport that has ever done it. So, and it's an amazing video. Like the videography and the cinematography is, I mean, Steven Spielberg-esque. Like Pat absolutely crushed it. So, but so he wasn't fishing this week. He was down in Puerto Rico filming at No Name. So I know the tarpon fishing is great in Puerto Rico, because it's never not great in Puerto Rico.
Right.
So don't have a good word on the tarpon, but I'll tell you what, it's cold and windy. You ain't catching them today.
No, no.
Nope, not a chance.
Not today. I'm sure the guys that were out this past week were using those super dark flies.
I bet you they were using, those super dark flies that look like cut ladyfish or catfish tails on the bottom. Like, that's what they're, 6,000 series spinning reels, and those are the flies they were using.
There you go.
But, yep, that's, speaking of flies, we do have a fly tying night coming up this week. It's going to be on Thursday, the 23rd. That is going to be at 239 Flies and 7 o'clock. I've got the information for that on the website.
Awesome.
So that you can find. Bring your vise, bring your tools, bring your thread, bring a can-do attitude, and a beverage if you want to drink it. Yes, this is the monthly drinking with scissors party. Captain Greg so eloquently dubbed.
Yes, he did. You still need to get those shirts made, though, Nick.
But that's about what I got. We are stocked up on some new Howler stuff. The shipment of Howler Brothers came in spring 2023, and it looks amazing.
Cool.
So we're working on getting that out. That's about it. That's about what we got. Oh, actually, I take it back. We got one more awesome thing. We are getting a brand new mid-price level rod from G. Loomis that is actually just dropped. We cast it 2 days ago in the parking lot. Our rep came through and was like, hey, remember that form I had you sign? Okay, this is it. So we're getting a new IMX Pro version 2. It's absolutely amazing. If you're in the market for a new fly rod but don't want to spend $1,000, want to keep it more at around the $500 to $600 mark, but get performance of a $1,000 fly rod, that's exactly what this is.
Well, very cool. And what about any casting clinics? Do you have any more events scheduled with Mr. Joe Mahler coming up in the near future?
I think we've got one in April. I need to check the date. I'll have the date for you next week.
Great. Fantastic.
But, yeah, we do have one coming up, but I believe it. I know it's a couple of months out still, and I'm not sure we nailed down the date yet. So let me confirm that, and I'll get back to you.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Well, thanks for checking in this morning, Nick. We will catch up with you next Saturday morning, and you have a great weekend in the meantime.
Same time, same place. You guys do the same. Talk to you soon.
All right, Nick. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. That is Nick Davis with 239 Flies there in the Beach Road Plaza in Bonita Springs. So we're actually going to head off to our very first break of the morning. So more when we come back. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. Stay tuned.
Just watching her blonde hair sunburned, stare at them white caps rolling over. Laid back in a thrift store beach chair, dropping limes in a Corona.
Mi parte favorita de trabajar en Culver's.
Hola, bienvenidos a Culver's.
Es ver a las sonrisas de nuestros invitados cuando les sirvo una Butterburger preparada a la orden y nuestro fresh frozen custard rico y cremoso.
¿Quieren probar el sabor del
día? Me enorgullece saber que todo está preparado fresco con los mejores ingredientes, como lo que elegiría para mi familia. El cariño extra hace más que llenarte. Te llena el corazón. Eso es lo que hace que valga la pena compartir una comida. Bienvenido a Delicioso.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, multi-species angler, host of the Boundless Pursuit podcast, David Graham. How's it going over there in the co-host seat, Dave?
It's going nicely. Going very good.
Yeah.
Much more comfortable than my hard wooden chair that's out on my hot lanai where I'm set up. But
Think a couple years from now, you're going to have a studio just like this. You're going to hit the big time.
I can't get too comfortable. I might be too much of a sleepy host. I get restless, and maybe that's a good thing with my show. It gets the conversation moving quicker.
Yeah, well, and clearly you've got plenty of topics to talk about on that show because, gosh, given your experiences and some of the fish that you've pursued, what I want to do is kind of start off talking a little bit about your background and how your intense passion for chasing these unique or lesser pursued species started off. So how old were you when you started fishing, and who got you out there on the water, or did you just get into it yourself?
Ah, man, I feel like my origins as an angler is probably similar to a lot of people's, maybe with a slightly less mentorship. But so I didn't start as an angler. Like I feel very strongly that the drive to go out and, I don't know, be in nature is an inherent thing, you know, because some of it's taught and some of it is, you know, I feel like a seed that you're like born with, but you just need somebody to kind of like cultivate and like facilitate like opportunities to grow that. And for me, you know, from the time I have my earliest memories, I was outside, you know, flipping rocks, looking for a worm and trying to find something to catch. But I mean, it went beyond just simple curiosity. I was a child absolutely possessed with going out and catching things, whether it was a bug or a snake or anything I could get my hands on. Like seeing another live creature was just deeply, deeply fascinating to me on like the craziest level. And now where I benefited was, you know, now having kids of my own, my older daughter especially, she's kind of starting to show the same sort of interests. And as a parent, that can be scary because there's, you know, there's snakes out there. There's venomous creatures out there. There's a spider that can bite you and envenomate you. And it's really tempting to say, oh, no, don't do this. Oh, no, don't do that. Oh, no, that can kill you. And oh, that's scary.
Right.
But I remember, and I'm so appreciative that my parents were very supportive of me getting out of the house. And a lot of times, you know, the alternative was, well, get out of the house or you're about to do all kinds of some chores today. So it's like I would get out of bed and throw on
either
a pair of shorts.
Either get out of the house and find something working to do, or we're going to give you something
to
do.
It ain't going
to
be fun up in this house. But so I would just take off running outside as quickly as I could. But I was so eager to get outside and just be this wild child. And so that was always there. And I feel like, you know, some kids have that, some kids don't, and that's okay. You know, I was talking about this recently on my podcast, is that, you know, it goes the same way for, I feel like engineers or people who are, you know, that's not me. I can hardly put batteries into, you know, a flashlight the right way. But, you know, you see these kids that, like, as soon as they can, like, reach objects, they want to, you know, just curiously, they want to take things apart, put them back together, build something, you know. And so when you recognize those things, you gotta build on that. And so that wasn't me. That was, but, you know, those are the kids that grow up and work for NASA one day.
Right.
And so I was that guy during recess that wasn't playing with everybody. I was off in the bushes trying to find a lizard to catch. So that was always there. And, you know, along the way, my dad, you know, he was a fisherman to a point, and my brothers began fishing, and it just wasn't necessarily an interest of mine, but I did see that as an opportunity to kind of, like, you know, when you're a kid, you sometimes can't go much further than the boundaries of your front yard, and that can get old kind of quick. So
yeah,
when they started going fishing, I'm like, well, bring me, because, you know, they're going to be at the, you know, that's an opportunity for me to get at the water's edge, and, you know, y'all go fish, and I'll be looking for turtles and snakes and something to catch. And then somewhere along the way, you know, my brothers start encouraging me to actually pick up the rod and start fishing. And, you know, there's just a transition period where I've never lost the passion for being outdoors. But, like, you know, fishing for me was just the opportunity to get out there and have those opportunities to see wildlife. But, you know, there's just a lot of foundational building blocks on why it intensified for me over time. And I think a lot of it is because we grew up moving like every 3 to 4 years. My dad's career just moved him around. We're not military. A lot of people ask military. No. But he was, you know, he basically the company he worked for just moved him around.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just in a constant state of moving and changing. And, you know, I don't know, from an introvert like me, I didn't really care, but you know, it's never fun to be the new guy. So it kind of isolated me to a point from making lifelong friends. But it was also an opportunity. Everywhere we went was like a different environment for me to go explore. And then you
opportunities
know,
for new adventures.
Yeah. And so as time went on, my brothers were, you know, they were kind of getting into like mostly bass fishing. I mean, that's where we all start, right? If you're not along the coastline, we weren't on the coastline. So it was, you know, bluegill and bass. And, you know, we moved from Oklahoma to Arkansas. My oldest brother, Travis, he then goes off to University of Oklahoma. And now he's in my life a lot less. And then we're in Arkansas, and my other older brother, I'm the youngest of three, Matt, was very much into bass fishing. And so I kind of started going with him. Well, you know, he's now in high school, he's chasing girls, and I'm just some nerdy little middle school kid. He doesn't want to hang out with me anymore, so now I'm with him a lot less. But they were always kind of my vehicle to go and expand my reaches and go places. So it was very much like hop on the pegs and grab their shoulders and ride the bike down.
Mm-hmm.
We lived on a golf course in Oklahoma. A lot of golf course ponds that are always loaded with fish.
Oh, heck yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they were very instrumental in, I won't say they were the best teachers. They weren't the most patient, but they did afford me those opportunities to go. And I think that's just the most important thing. Like when the interest is there and you have the opportunity to take the kid and build on that interest. They very much did that for me. And my parents were the same way because they were hands off. They didn't scare me away from going and doing it. They're like, all right, you're interested in going out there? Go ahead. Have fun. Have at it. And so we started with, you know, the bass fishing, and then, I don't know, just kind of snowballed from there. And I think a large part of my venture down, I guess, the multi-species or rough fish rabbit hole was probably because I didn't have, you know, group thought or group think. I was fishing alone. Mm-hmm. I was always out there alone. So I was like, a lot of this was just uncovering these things on my own. So there wasn't a lot of voices in my ear saying, oh, you don't want to catch this. Oh, you don't want to catch that. I was uncovering, you know, I was drawing my own conclusions because I was out there doing it myself. And so then I would, you know, basically beat these voices to the race and have these awesome experiences with something like a bowfin or a big 5-foot-long gar. And I thought they were so amazing, these different animals, these different creatures. Then somebody would come along and say, well, you don't want to catch that. I'm like, well, you know, what? I mean, what are you talking about?
And, you know, I have to say, David, that I've had, say, for example, a father and son or a mother and daughter on my mm-hmm. boat, and to see the young child get so excited about catching a bowfin or an Oscar or something that so many other people are like, oh, man, you caught an Oscar. You know, I really want to catch a peacock bass. It's like you're forming this idea in that youngster's head that fish is not to be respected. And the bottom line is, you know as well as I do, when you're out there catching Oscars or you're catching mm-hmm. bowfin, those fish are fighting every bit as hard as some of the sport fish species do. And I almost feel like it takes away from that young person's or really anybody's experience if you're putting that mindset
right,
in their head.
Yeah. Well, the analogy that I love to use anytime I kind of have this conversation, because I feel like it's realistic, and I use this every time I have this conversation. You take a child to like the state aquarium, and you walk up on a big aquarium, like a big tank, and it's full of a variety of fish. And let's say, you know, and there may never be an aquarium like this, but I'm just, you know, throwing out a hypothetical here. Let's say there's a rainbow trout in there. There's a largemouth bass, a smallmouth bass, a crappie, a bluegill, a striped bass. You know, it's like your typical species of fish. But then hovering at the top of that is a 7-foot long, something like an alligator gar, with these giant teeth, this massive tail, these huge menacing eyes, this like armor-plated scaling. And you take a kid that doesn't know one fish from the next and has no preconceived notions. Like there's been no filter yet. Like nothing. They're just staring at that. I put my last dollar on it that kid is going to be fixated on that alligator gar and those unique species. And that it's just it's a fascinating and incredible animal. There's so much diversity, especially in North America. Like we have such a diverse ecosystem of fish. For you to intentionally, I don't know, like limit yourself, especially as an angler. If you are a self-proclaimed passionate angler in freshwater or saltwater, but you intentionally put self-imposed stipulations on yourself, like, well, I only want to catch this, or I only want to fish there, or I want to do this kind of fishing. Like, that thought process has been a great mystery to me, and it's been a driving force behind developing my own blog and trying to draw people out of that frame of mind, because when you get out there and you experience that other side and you start chasing those fish, like, oh my gosh, this country is in a desperate need of a mass awakening, because there is a whole other world of fish to go and chase. So that's the big part. Now, I mean, I could sit here and burn up the entire time we have on this airwave. When you start to talk about something like, let's say, a bowfin, and I know you alluded to it kind of earlier, that sometimes a bass angler will get upset about that.
Oh, they're like, these mudfish!
It drives me crazy that if you look at a native species of fish, especially like this is a native fish, and I love non-native fish as well. But if you could sit there and call a native species of fish trash fish, I don't want to hear the word conservation ever in your vocabulary. Don't talk to me about water quality. Don't talk to me about changing ecosystems in Florida. Don't talk to me about preserving the natural state and then in the same breath talk about eliminating a native species of fish or having some kind of disdain for them. Like that is a critical element to the natural biostate of this fishery. And you wouldn't have trophy fish, like trophy bass fish, like the trophy bass we have in the state mm-hmm. exist in large part because of something like a bowfin, you know, creating that balanced ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And I think it's just seeing, and especially I understand when people are focusing like they've got a niche, right? There's anglers who have these niches focusing on a certain species and really learning how to target that species, really learning that species, every intricacy of the behavior of the habitat of that particular species. But like you're saying, we have, especially here in the state of Florida, we are so blessed to have the fishing opportunities that we have for the variety of species that we have here. Name another place where you can go out in the morning and fish Okeechobee and catch big bass or catch bowfin and then drive to the other, drive to the coastline and be fishing for redfish or snook or sharks.
Right.
We are so lucky in terms of those types of opportunities that we have access to here. And so as an angler, I agree with you. Why would you limit yourself and the amount of knowledge that you can soak in along the way while you're learning about all these different species is just, it's incredible.
Yeah, and I don't want to question people's – I mean, by all means, if somebody wants to dedicate their entire life to fishing, you know, specifically for bass, nothing wrong with that. That is – that ultra-competitive state and, like, something like the tournament bass fishing scene has driven the market and driven a lot of, like, the gear and the technology that we use today is because of that. But, you know, I'm just saying don't do that and then question why somebody else would not do that. You know, it's like – I don't know. They just – I feel like it's kind of changing for the better with regards to something like a bowfin. Or, you know, when we say bowfin, a lot of people are like, what in the world is that? Okay, I'm talking about mudfish. If you're from Florida, everybody hears that. You talk about a fish that is just the ultimate king of regional nicknames. My goodness, they're known by something different all across this country. But, you know, their actual name is bowfin. And it's just one example of many, many different kinds of fish that we have. I have a special place in my heart for that fish. But, you know, being here in the Everglades, for instance, you talk about like a central figure of the natural ecosystem. I mean, this fish was here long before everything else came along.
Everything else came along. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, hold that thought. We got to head off to another break. More when we come back. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. Stay tuned.
Mi parte favorita de trabajar en Culver's.
Hola, bienvenidos a Culver's.
Es ver a las sonrisas de nuestros invitados cuando les sirvo una Butterburger preparada a la orden y nuestro fresh frozen custard rico y cremoso.
¿Quieren probar el sabor del día?
Me enorgullece saber que todo está preparado fresco con los mejores ingredientes, como lo que elegiría para mi familia. El cariño extra hace más que llenarte, te llena el corazón. Eso es lo que hace que valga la pena compartir una comida. Bienvenido a Delicioso.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, David Graham of the Boundless Pursuit podcast. And we are talking all things lesser pursued freshwater fish species here this morning. So I can't wait to get more into our conversation. We're going to be talking about alligator gar, Gulf sturgeon, fishing for bowfin with lures, and a whole lot more. Lots to cover. In the meantime, I'm going to head over to line one because we've got Captain Jim Fortman standing by. I'm going to grab his call. Hey, Captain Jim, how's it going?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. What's going on down in the 10,000 Islands? How's the fishing been down there?
It's been pretty good. I'd like to go back on to talking about mudfish, man. That's the freshwater version of a Jack Revelle, if you ask me.
That's so funny that you say that because we were just talking about Jacks on break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a good bowfin bite. I mean, I grew up fishing the Hillsborough Canal. That canal used to be loaded on the way to Loxahatchee. So we go out there, and they really love June bug. We used to catch them all day long. I mean, I'd say my biggest one's probably about 8 pounds. So they're they're a good fighting fish. I don't see anything wrong with them.
Oh, yeah.
Blue belly. I don't know if I'd eat one.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the most palatable fish.
No, probably not.
Not a big eater.
Got right there with that Jacker Bell, and they fight really hard, but I don't know if I'd eat one of those.
Yeah, don't tell that to the Cajuns.
Catch one of those on a fly rod. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
They are a tough fish. I mean, like I said, I grew up, when the bass bite got slow, they were always available. So, I mean, it was a really good time when we got them on. So.
Well, give us the scoop from your charters over the past week, Jim. I know it's been windy down there, just like it's been up in this area. So what's been working for you?
This week has been just, you know, throw everything at you and then calm down in the afternoon. So we started out at the beginning of the week at 68-degree water temperatures. The end of the week, it was got off the water yesterday, it was 78.7. So fluctuating water temperatures are basically kind of all the redfish and snook have just basically, they don't know what to do. Tarpon kind of moved back out. But the sea trout have been very plentiful. They've been still hanging out in the deep holes.
Mm-hmm.
By yesterday, we were able to get on the outside and actually fish for some sea trout in the last 2 days. The sea trout bite has been on the, you know, anywhere there's a kind of a sand mound or a shoal, and they're hanging out right on the edges of them in the deeper water. So the average size has been basically 14 to 17 inches. Beginning of the week, we actually got some that were up around 20 when the water was a little colder, and they've been, like I said, those were actually hanging out in a 10 to 12 foot range.
Mm-hmm.
As far as water depth, right on the bottom. Everything that we've been catching this week, it has been a slow bite as far as the presentation of your lures that we're using to get down deep. They just want to focus on the hopping and just letting it sit. It's, you know, like I tell my clients, they've been just take about 5 minutes to bring that retrieve in. You know, you don't want to be working fast. You don't want to be reeling a lot. It's because you really wanted to focus on getting it down to the bottom.
Yeah, and what's been working for you, Jim? Are you using live bait? Have you been trying some artificials? What's been your key to success?
The brown bucktails have been working the best because the water quality at the beginning of the week, that's because the pattern that we've had is like a wind would be calm in the morning, then about 11, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, mm-hmm. the wind would pick up to about 20 miles an hour and then lay back down. So just basically got a good chance to get everything stirred up. We've been having southwest winds without going tides, which is, that really does kick the mud up. By about Thursday, we started going to lighter colors because the water started clearing up because we didn't have as much wind that was pushing. And so the water kind of got by yesterday, the water was almost crystal clear. You could see the bottom. So I don't know what's going to happen over the weekend. It's probably going to get stirred back up because they are forecasting winds, but the forecasts have been just all over the place. They haven't gotten it right down south. So it's been kind of really nice as far as we're getting warm temperatures, but the wind's been kind of fluctuating. So when the water gets dirty, you want to go with the darker colors. Like I said, the browns have been working the best.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tipping shrimp on those jigs just get a little scent. I went through a whole bottle of Procure this week as far as juicing up the salt plastics.
You and me both, I think.
Just getting as much scent as you can get on those lures.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I tell my clients, the stuff works. You know, it gives you about an extra 3 seconds to set the hook because they'll hold onto the lure a little bit longer. But yeah, that's just been the scenario. Now I do have an offshore report. It's because my buddy Captain Jimmy, he ran out to about a couple of the patch reefs in the 8 to 9 miles out. He said, and this is where it's been kind of weird because the bite hasn't been really good offshore in the last week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a chance to run out yesterday. And he said he's catching pompano out there. He's catching black drum out there. He's catching sea trout out there. And he's just hitting those little patch reefs that they have out there, the artificial reefs that are on the outside. But he said he kept his crew busy for about 4 or 5 hours yesterday on those little patch reefs. Meanwhile, inshore, it's, like I said, it's just been all sea trout. Beginning of the week, we had some sheephead with that water temperature dropping down.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just been kind of fluctuating. We're hoping this week the water stabilizes and we might see some redfish and some sea snook start biting a little bit more than they have been. You know, like last week we had a good stable water temperature and we were seeing snook. And
this next week we will as well. I mean, we've got temperatures based on the forecast. If the forecast holds, we've got temperatures that are stable in the 80s for this whole entire week. So that's going to mean some good fishing.
And that's if the forecast holds. Because like I said, we've had a...
That's that disclaimer I put in there.
Yeah, we don't know what it's going to do this because it's February. And like I'm reminding all my clients, it's February. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, last year we started seeing the tarpon in February. Got a couple of permit, you know, last February.
Mm-hmm.
You can always count on the sea trout though in February. That's, you know, like I tell everybody, you can always count on the sea trout bite. As far as the red tide reports, they said there was none around. I actually saw a couple of floating catfish yesterday around Whitehorse. Didn't see any signs because we were actually catching sea trout as the catfish were floating by. So I think it was just some stuff that was blowing in from out in the Gulf, because they did say that there was a red tide out deep. But even like it was when I was talking to Jimmy, he said we didn't see any signs of red tide. We did see a couple of floating catfish, but you know, other than that, the fishing has been really good. So I don't know what's going on in that one, but according to the FWC, there's no red tide in our area, so that's about it. Get out there and tight lines.
Yeah, well, thanks for the update, Jim. It's always good to hear from you and always good to get a fishing report, so we appreciate that. Are you at the farmer's market today?
I am at the farmer's market, and if anybody needs to get in touch with me, you can give me a call. Go to my website. It's backwaterfishingnaples.net, or just come by the farmer's market and
go see Captain Jim.
I'm always here to talk about fishing, and get some good times and some updates. Kim's here right now. She's going to say hi to you.
Morning, Kim. Well, great. We'll catch up with you next Saturday, Jim. Like I said, we appreciate the update and glad to hear you've been out there. Hopefully next week will be even better. So we'll catch up with you next Saturday.
Yep. We'll have another report for you next Saturday.
Look forward to it.
Tight lines.
All right. Tight lines, Jim. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
That is Captain Jim Fortman calling in, and we're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.